So I've said it many times before, but good morning, Grace Life family. Most of the time I was saying that was over the internet when I was watching from overseas, and it was an amazing blessing to be able to watch. I was all the way in Cameroon. Most of the time I was able to keep up with service. Sometimes it just wouldn't work. The internet is a blessing and full of trickery. So with that, I would like to remind the church that we are looking to receive a blessing on improving our video system and our internet capabilities. So please keep that in mind. If God puts on your heart to help donate to that when you give with your offering, that would be an honor. So I'm very thankful to find myself under the ministry that God has placed us here with Pastor Jamie and Pastor Lisa. It's unique in many ways, but it's about talking about God's grace and God's love. And it's different than pointing out all of our flaws. But with my first slide up, we're going to talk about today. The title is, I've Got a Big Problem. And I don't know if any of you have ever had a problem. I've had a few. And some of them are bigger than others. But I'd like to talk about what types of problems we have, just briefly, what we experience in our life. There's a lot of different things. We have problems with relationships. Have problems with our health. Could be with addiction, could be with our finances. Maybe we find a problem in our marriage. Things change constantly. If you look on your first line there, write down, I have a big problem. Problems are real. If we ignore them, they don't just go away. Usually they get bigger. Sometimes we don't want to face them. But a lot of times when we start talking about problems in church and looking at what the Bible says, or what God's going to do for us in our problems, I see two extremes. All right? There's a lot of people in the middle, but I see two extremes. One, I see the people that focus on the problem, and they always have problems to tell you about. Right? You ask them about their day, and all they come up with, Pastor Wright talks about, Dr. Wright, all the time, right? He's afraid to ask people, how are you doing today? Because they always go, well, Pastor. And he's, right, you know where it's going to go. But there are people that's what they constantly talk about. Their problems consume their conversations. Their problems consume their life, and the problem consumes their thoughts. On the other extreme, you have people that say you should never, ever mention that problem, right? Don't declare it. Don't speak it out. They think if you never talk about it, it's just going to go away or you're going to make it disappear, right? Both extremes have a flaw. You're not addressing the problem. You're not seeking the solution. So what I want to encourage you to do is run that middle path. Encourage you to be willing to recognize when there is a problem, right? If we don't recognize it, it's going to keep growing. It's going to sneak up on you. It's okay to recognize there's a problem. We all are going to have them. There's a list of very common ones, and I'm sure you probably have some that aren't on there. I want you to identify what the problem is. What's the root of the problem? And then implement the main point of today's message. It's getting ready to come up. And face your problems boldly. So the title of today's message is, I've Got a Big Problem. Let me see the next slide. Here's the message. I've got a big God. All right? No matter what your problem is, God is there. No matter how long your problem lasts, God is there. No matter how big your problem is, God is bigger. Spend less time talking about how big your problem is. Spend some more time talking about how big your God is. Don't be afraid to speak out. I have a problem. You know what? I'm struggling with my finances. But God can help me. All right? I'm struggling with politics. Right? People get upset. There are people that get really, really upset over politics. Okay? But are you placing your faith in a politician or in politics or in the law? Or are you going to place your faith in God? God is bigger than any of those problems. Acknowledge the problem, but focus on how God can help you overcome the problem. Not just wave a magic wand and the problem goes away. How is God going to help you? Right? It's a learning process. It's a journey. Who is God? God has many, many names. Throughout the Bible, throughout our life, through our different experiences. So I'd like you to identify a few of those that really stand out to you. What is your need? Who is God to you? Sometimes God is Father. Here, people refer to him as Papa or Daddy, right? Your time with God is a relationship. It's a relationship between you and God. There's times that you need that Father. God is the King of Kings. We're fortunate in America. We live in a land of freedom. We elect our officials. But regardless, if we had a king, God is the King above all kings. He's the Lord above all lords. He is the light of the world. He's the everlasting God. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is omnipotent, seer of all things. God is omnipresent, everywhere, every time, for you and for you and for you. All right? That's something the devil can't do. I think the devil gets too much credit sometimes. Like, oh, the devil's fighting me. The devil's fighting me. The devil can't be everywhere at once. The devil is not God. God is always with you. When a problem comes along, who do you call for? Do you call for God, who is the light of the world, to help you see where you need to go? Do you call for a counselor to help you understand how you're feeling or what you need to do? No matter how big, how hard, or how bad your problem is, God is bigger. If you're not sure God's big enough, let's go with Genesis 1:1. God created everything. He spoke it into existence. There was absolutely nothing, and he spoke it with a word, and it became. If he can create everything from nothing, your problem is not too big for God, I promise. So throughout the Bible, we have specific examples, right? Instead of just sitting up here saying, well, I've got these names of God, and God's going to help you. I really believe in having some verses to hold on to. So on that sheet I gave you, you have God is, right? Caleb, we can go to the next slide, please. I hope y'all can see those. If not, I'll read a few. God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is light, 1 John 1:5. God is love, 1 John 4:8. The Bible doesn't say God is like these things or God's similar to these things. God is love. Is two letters and one is the most powerful words in the English language, is. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. He is love. God's word is flawless, Psalms 18:30. God is full of compassion. God is a God who saves. God forgives. God is the rock. God is merciful. God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. What verses stand out to your need? When you have a problem and you're facing this, what do you pull into your spirit and your soul? What do you latch onto and declare? Hey, I've got this problem, but God is love. I have this problem, but God is faithful. Declare it. It is important to know who God is. So I encourage you to write two or three of these down. I encourage you to use them as references when you need them, right? If you try to memorize every single one, then you have this huge batch, and you're like, well, which one do I need right now, right? Pick out two or three that speak to your heart. It's going to be different for everybody. But keep them with you. Focus on those. Let the Lord speak to you with those. David tells us in Psalms that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why would you venture down in a path that's unlit towards solving a problem? You're going to stumble. You're going to run into the wall. You're going to hit your head on the top. Right? You're not going to see the traps coming. Let God's word guide you on your journey. Every time you approach that new problem, every time you approach that new situation, bring God's word into it. Let him be the guide for your path. I'd like to talk about a couple of key verses. Looking at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The Message Bible puts it in these words. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. God's always going to be there for you. He's always available, All we need to do is call his name. He's given us a guide in the Bible. He's told us he's there to help us. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He doesn't leave any darkness in the voids. He doesn't cast any shadows. He illuminates everything, and the light shows us the truth. There's no confusion, right? There's no doubt. The light shows you everything, and nothing can hide. Sometimes I think we have a misconceptions of God, though, right? When we talk about praying or declaring things, we want God to just fix it. God is not a magic genie. Okay, I just got through watching Aladdin yesterday with my daughter. Great movie. But you don't have just three wishes. Lord, please make me rich. Boom. It's not how it happens. Because if I landed on $100 million right now, I'm going to mess up a lot because I have no idea how to handle that kind of money. God is not a supernatural force causing you pain and suffering. We run into these bad situations and I hear people, why would God allow this to happen? Why is God doing this to me? God took so-and-so away from me. God is not out there causing you strife. He's not out there causing you harm. All right? Sometimes just in life, we have to experience things. Sometimes our decisions have consequences, right? That's part of growing. That's part of learning. He is not the reason or cause of conflict and consequences in your life. But what God is available to you. He's there to help you. God's promise to us, looking at Jeremiah 29:11. I remember this growing up in Maranatha. There was a long theme of this one, and this verse has never, ever left my heart. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They are plans to give you hope and a future. God does have a plan for you. He wants great things for you. But if you are just given those things, right, if you just give your children everything they ask for, they never learn an appreciation for it. They don't have as much value for it. They don't know how to obtain it themselves. God wants to help you along that journey. I apologize that some of my print's so small. If you look at the second part, never leave or forsake you. There are 10 verse references there that all say the same thing, that God will never leave you or forsake you. This isn't a one-off throughout the Bible. It's not one verse that says he's never going to leave you. Over and over, from the Old Testament through the Psalms, into the New Testament, God will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we may forget that he's living in us, right? If you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus, he's living in you always. Sometimes we may forget that. But he's still there. He's just waiting for you to come by and say, hey, I need some help. 1 John 3, verse 23 through 24. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit who he has given us. Believers, we are the new temple. We don't have to travel on a big journey to go down and talk to the priest and make a sacrifice. Jesus was this final sacrifice, and he lives in you. He is always available. He is always there. You don't have to look anywhere else other than to Jesus. You're never alone. He wants to do good for you and for your life. Sometimes we have to go along that journey to understand where he's taking us. Know who you are in Christ. You are his precious child, and he is the perfect father. So how should we interact with God? Do we only do it when we're at church? I think sometimes that happens. We forget throughout the week that he's always there with us. We wait till we're at church, and that's when the only time that we praise and worship him. We wait till we're at church to pray for healing or pray for our needs. We wait till we're at church to just have open discussion with friends and family about who God is in our lives and how God is helping us or how God has blessed us. Let's begin by believing in God. If you're not a believer, I would like you to really understand that it's not difficult. God just wants you to believe in him. Believe that his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sins and accept the gospel, the good news. He came for all mankind. Then know your identity as his child. We are all God's children. How do you treat your children? Hopefully, with the same guidance that God does, but you love them unconditionally. You want the best for them in all things, right? We want to raise them to be self-sufficient and to be intelligent and be capable. God wants the same for us. Recognize that his presence is with you always. Never goes away. Understand that living the abundant life on earth does not mean it's a life free from problems, but it means that I've always got his hand to hold on to, right? When we were young, we experience things the hard way sometimes, right? Our parents say, hey, don't run through the house. You're going to fall down and get hurt. How many of you didn't run through the house? Right. Hey, you might want to put gloves on before you go out and do that. You're going to get a splinter. I got a few splinters. Right. Watch where you're swinging that hammer. There goes your thumb. We experience things in life because we have to grow from them. But that doesn't mean that we live a life free from pain and suffering or free from trials and tribulation. When you face these problems, again, I want to remind you, speak more about how big God is than about how big your problem is. We continue on. If our prayers are asking God to grant magic wishes, we may be disappointed when the answer is no, right? If we change our expectations and pray for God's grace and guidance, we're more likely to understand the answer along the journey. If my goal is to be wealthy, maybe I have a goal because I want to be wealthy and I want to sponsor an orphanage overseas, or I want to be able to bless people with a car when they need it, or run a business so I can provide jobs. That's great. But if that just comes along and you haven't developed the skills to manage that, you might misuse it. Or you may find yourself dealing with temptations that you're not prepared for, right? So an example of praying for finances. Not, God, give me money. Ask God for help in money management, good stewardship, or better job opportunities. If we're praying for our marriage, not, Lord, fix him or her. That's an easy one to ask for, right? We always see what we don't like. Ask God to give you grace to love unconditionally, because he loves you unconditionally. Ask God to know how to pray for your spouse or your significant other, your loved one, whatever the relationship is. Ask him to help you effectively communicate your needs and concerns to them. Right? How many times do we just, oh, it makes me upset. I'm upset. I'm upset. I didn't tell them I was upset. They keep doing it. They're making me upset. I'm not good at telling them why I'm upset. Right? Lord, help me to communicate my needs. Praying for sickness. Now, I'm certainly not going to say, Lord, not to pray for God to heal you instantly, because that'd be the best outcome. But don't just pray for God to cure you instantly. Ask God to help you seek effective medical treatment. Modern technology and our growth as humans is amazing. There are options out there. There are things out there, and that may be part of the path or part of the journey for your healing, right? For you to be able to witness to people providing you care or be able to bless others who find themselves in the same problem that you have. Ask for the strength and wisdom to make changes in your life to improve your health. If you're having a health issue that is related to your actions, it's a little bold to ask God just to make it all better, but keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes we need God to say, help us to stop what we're doing that's causing the problem. Whatever your need is, seek out God's word and his guidance, but take the time to listen. The answer doesn't always come immediately. Recognize that learning is a process. If we skip the process and go straight to the result, you probably didn't learn much. Coal, a lump of coal, can be used for many things, but it doesn't just become a diamond because we want a diamond. It takes a great deal of pressure. Now, I'm sure that pressure is difficult for the lump of coal. If it had feelings, it'd be crying a little bit, okay? But after all that pressure, what does it become? It becomes a beautiful diamond. Steel can be used for many things, but for hardened steel, for steel to be strong, it must be tempered by fire. The trials and the problems that you face in life prepare you and build you up. That doesn't mean that they're easy. It doesn't mean that they just go away. But they're an experience. It's part of the journey. It's who we are. We're humans. But God is always going to be there. He's always with you to help you. So for my first message, it was a nice 45 seconds. I feel like the point I want you to understand is God is bigger than your problems. Christian that has accepted Jesus in your life, know God is bigger than your problems. If you're not a Christian, I want to invite you to ask Jesus in your heart. Because you do not have to go along this journey alone. God wants to go with you. He wants to have a one-on-one relationship with you, and he wants to see you succeed in life. No matter what your problem is, there's a solution out there. It's just a lot easier to do it with Jesus. It was really on my heart after our praise and worship, if the praise team wouldn't mind coming back up. We sang Our God. If y'all don't mind singing that again for closing, but prayer is something that takes practice. The more we practice, the better we get at it. The better we get at being able to identify what we're praying for and hearing that answer. So for some of these, hopefully you wrote down some verses that spoke to you about who God is. Who do you need God to be in your life right now? Because he'll be there for you. This song talks about God is greater. God is stronger. God is mighty. And it's a good start. So I'd like, whenever you are ready, practice now, if you all would, stand with us. And let this song be you worshiping and talking to God. This is between you and the Lord for what your problems are. And this is a great start for God in your life. Declaring who he is and speaking more about God than your problems. Thank you.